And we'll read about the 12th verse here. It's talking about fighting. Fight the good fight of faith. There's two kind of fights. There's a bad one, there's a good one. Fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Fight the good fight. Now, we are called as a church every day to battle. We've got somebody to fight. I was down the other day praying, and you know, I got to thinking about all the things that God's promised. And I got to thinking about the devil and how I hate him, and won't hurt him every way I can, you know, because he killed my Lord. He's killed everybody else that ever died. And he is a murderer from the beginning. And I always trying to seek out a way I can hit him, you know. Hit him again, you know. Because I just don't like him. And in starting out to fight, the first thing to make up your mind is to never fight God. Be sure you're not fighting God. Gamaliel, the great man in Acts 5:39, said to the men that were fighting against the church, and the apostles said, if it be of men, it'll come to naught. Everything does. If men start something, it'll come to naught. But he said, if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest ye be found to fight against God. The one thing we don't want to ever be found doing is fighting against God. It's a dangerous thing to fight God. Now, we ought to know that. But when you fight the ministry and you fight the church, you're fighting God. He said, as much as you do it unto the least of these, my brethren, you do it unto me. So let's never be guilty of fighting God. Then the Bible tells us, warns us here. He said, Paul, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, but so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. He said, I'm not out shadow fighting. If I'm going to fight, I'm going to find a mark. I'm going to find something to hit. And that's what I was doing, walking up and down here praying and talking to the good Lord, and got to thinking about the sun, and I said, Lord, every time I ask in Jesus' name that the sun rises, let it shine, it's the power of Jesus' name upon the kingdom of hell. Everywhere in the world that the sun shines, I pray that it'll weaken the kingdom of Satan. Let the power come down on him. Let it hammer down on him. Let it beat him down. Then I said, every time darkness begins to cover the earth after the sun sets, I said, let that same darkness be darkness to the mind of Lucifer. May his old corrupt mind become so darkened and so twisted with the darkness of the earth until he can't think right, he can't plan right. Let him be baptized in his own darkness, in his own evil power. He's hindered the minds of men, the thinking of men, for years and years. And I said, Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name, that every time darkness covers the earth, that it darken his mind to where he can't see how to operate, that he can't see how, he can't think it out. Praise God. You know, that's exactly the way I feel about this today. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. You know, Satan, he had his chance millions of years ago as the prince or the king of this earth. And I said to him the other day, I said, you had it so beautiful one time. You was a very lovely person. When you was walking with God, And you had great cities upon this earth. A great castle, no doubt, somewhere where you ruled the earth with the angels all around. But I said, one day you decided you wanted to be like God. You wanted to take over. And you said, I'll ascend above the clouds. I'll take his place. And I said, you know, you sure made a fool out of yourself. I said, you had it so pretty, so beautiful. And I said, I'd like to remind you what happened. God came upon you and destroyed the earth. And it became just a place of darkness. Your city sank into the depths of the sea. God must have covered them over with mountains, buried them. Darkness covered the earth, and the Spirit just moved upon the face of the waters. Nothing but black darkness. I said, that's what your beautiful world turned into. And you didn't ever accomplish your dream. And I said, you can't seem to learn any sense. You keep on, and you're going to wreck this one. But God's building a new one for us. Amen. He's going to take us off of this one day into a beautiful city. Praise God. Oh, I love to torment the devil sometimes. And he has worked on me. That's right. I have stood face to face with the old boy many times. And I'd run for my life if I didn't wear a name. But I got a name. Amen. Amen. Get out of the way, Satan. Here comes a preacher. Amen. He's got the name in him. And that's why he's so brave. That's why he's so bold. He knows the power of that name. And he knows that name will make every devil in hell lick the dust. Praise God. Well, we're going to hear in just about 5 minutes. Let Brother Braswell come. We're talking about call to battle. And I read here in Deuteronomy 1:42. This scripture tells us to never go out to battle unless we got somebody with us. And the Lord said unto me, say unto them, go not up, neither fight. There's a time not to fight. For I am not among you, lest ye be smitten before the enemy. The Lord said, you tell that bunch the way they've been acting, the way they've been doing, I have withdrawn from them. They better not go to war. They do, they're going to get whipped. You know, the only time we ever get whipped is whenever we so lived that the Lord's had to withdraw. But if we've got him with us, we don't have anything to worry about. It's a battle from daylight till dark, but it'll be over one day. Our most powerful weapons are prayer, a holy life, faith that was once delivered unto the saints. I saw in a little booklet lying on my desk the other day, written across the top of the page, look out fear, here comes faith. Amen. Look out fear, here comes faith. And I like that. I'll probably write that down in the back of my Bible where they will forget it. Look out fear, here comes faith. When faith comes on the scene, fear leaves. And one of our great weapons against Satan is to win a soul. There's nothing that upsets him more, that aggravates him more than a soul winner. When that soul is born into the kingdom of God, this really upsets Satan. Then, of course, some of our powerful weapons is Is our money given in the right place? Given to build churches, Sunday schools, missions, whatever. We are reaching out here in the city of Minden. Tonight at 7 o'clock, we're going to let Brother Murphy talk to you about the jail ministry. A man sent him from, I believe, way down in Florida. He had a boy in trouble. And $100 to help out in whatever they need up there. So we fell on the idea that maybe we need a little jail treasure. A little bit of money there along to help at times and whatever we need, you know, up there. So he'll be talking to you tonight at 7 o'clock about the jail and the needs. And we have seen a lot of people helped up there. We're reaching out in every direction. And another powerful weapon you have is 10% of all of your income. That is a powerful weapon against Satan's kingdom. You know why Satan fights tithing so hard? He knows that that would weaken the church and make her unable to reach out and have the revival she needs and the outreach she needs and everything else that she needs. But when people are faithful and they put God first, they tithe their income. I love to see children that's only made a dollar put a dime in the envelope. That's right. This is something that bothers Satan, and he'll fight, but God will bless. No one has ever lost by paying their tithes. Everybody has been blessed of the Almighty God. Give it from the heart. Give it to wreck Satan's kingdom and to build God's church. Keep that in mind always. I'm giving that the church may grow, that souls may be saved. It's so easy to waste that 10% on something else and let the church lie in waste. Not able to get the men that we need to get to call people from afar. It costs a lot of money to fly somebody here from New York and get them to preach a revival. It costs evangelists a lot more money nowadays than it used to cost them if they're trying to have a little place, you know. If you try to live in somebody's house, you can't always be the best in the evangelistic work. Therefore, a lot of them, you know, travel and they have to buy their trailers and they have to stay in motels and all of these things. It costs money. And anybody who begrudges an evangelist, whatever he gets, there's something wrong. That's right. I don't know of any Pentecostal evangelist in my life has ever got rich. I don't know of any of them. You spend it. One place, you'll make it. In the next place, you'll go under. A lot of times, big churches help support a man to where he can preach in two or three little churches after he leaves. But you never look at that, you know. So, oh my God, ain't an old fellow worth $500 a week or $1,000 a week. What about helping the fellow so he can go to the place where he gets $100 a week? That's right. We can become selfish in our thinking, you know. Greedy in our thinking and all of that. But you know what? Everything you've got belongs to Jesus Christ. Amen. You couldn't work one day without his strength and his help. That's right. You wouldn't even have a job. You wouldn't even have 2 feet to walk on if it were not for him. That's right. Amen. We owe him everything. I hope and pray that today that we see the need to give and to tithe. This ought to be a thing between every husband and wife. If we have to go in need, we're going to tithe. And I'll tell you what, you won't always go in need if you do. You'll be tested and tried. The Lord wants, he wants it to come from the right heart. He wants it to come from a heart of love, you see. And you may tithe for a little while and it seems like everything go against you. The Lord's testing you to see if you love Him. If you give it from your heart. Amen. The little widow woman didn't have anything left when she gave. She gave all she had. Jesus is watching them big wheels walk by and put their 20s and 50s and what have you. And He saw that little woman get that little coin. The last bit she had out of her handkerchief, no doubt. And drop it. And He watched her heart. And it was in it. Her heart was in it. And He said she gave more than all of them, because her heart was in it. Whatever you do for Jesus, put your heart in it if you want the blessing. Do it with a free will. Amen. The one thing that would bless the First Pentecostal Church to where we can have what we want and to grow is to have 100% cooperation right here. And we're not asking you to drain yourself and to go hungry. You want. If there's God in heaven, then He said, I'll pour out upon you a blessing you're not able to receive. I'll give to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. That's what He said He would do. And He will always do that. Now, you can always think of 1,000 reasons. Well, reason here, reason that. You know? One feller, he said, he went down and he's talking to some of the church folks. He said, well, he said, you know, he said, I inherited $50,000. But he said, I can't afford to pay that preacher that $5,000. Said he might get lifted up. Well, who was going to keep him from getting lifted up? Well, the 45. He'd already got lifted up. That's right. And if he didn't pay the 5,000, every bit of that 50,000 was cursed. That's right. The Lord said, I bless or I curse. I'll blow up on it, bang, it's gone. Your money will be like putting money in a bag with holes in it, he said. It'll just go, and you won't have nothing. There's nothing means more than the sweet peace of knowing that you're behind the kingdom of God. Now, the communists would say, don't tithe. Let the church go down. Right, that's what they would say. But they give more than their tithes to their communist party. They say, we'll give 90 if necessary. We'll give our life if necessary. Everything we've got. They leave their wives and children forever. They say, you got to make up your mind if you're going to be a true communist. If we say we're going to send you to the four corners of the earth and you never see your wife and children again, you say amen. Go. That's exactly right. When the church makes up her mind, this is for real, and God is real, and He'll send real, tangible blessings when you give. Well, Brother Braswell, we're certainly glad to see you back. And we're certainly glad we feel like that God has helped and blessed. And one thing we want to do is preach this gospel over the radio, in jails, in old folks' homes, bus routes, wherever the door opens. But that's where we want to go and to carry this gospel. Why? Why would we like to preach this message in Washington, D.C.? Because it's the truth. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Right. Now, we would like to say, if we've got any Methodists visiting you, we welcome you. We're not throwing off on churches. We just all, Pentecostal and Methodists, all need to get a little closer to Jesus. Amen. praise God. I've been exalting the name of the Lord God Jehovah. Oh, hallelujah. I feel like exalting Him a little bit more. Amen. Why don't we stand and sing, He is exalted. He is exalted. Jesus is. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Key of Elf, I believe it is. Amen. He is exalted. He is exalted. He is exalted on high. Creation shall praise Him, and the saints shall adore Him. He is exalted on high. Oh, He is exalted. He is exalted. He is exalted on high. Creation shall praise Him, and the saints shall adore Him. He is exalted on high. One more time to Jesus. Oh, He is. Sing it, church. He is exalted. Praise God. He is exalted on high. Creation shall praise Him, and the saints shall adore Him. He is exalted on high. Let us love the Lord together right now. Let's exalt the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name, the name that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that He is God Jehovah. Oh, hallelujah. I've come to exalt His name and lift Him up higher and higher and higher. Praise God. God bless you. You can be seated. Amen. Thank you, Brother Barnes, for the words that I heard you speaking to our hearts. And sound like to me that I detected a note of determination. Won't give up. The devil's going to lose. God's on our side. We're going to win. There's victory in the camp of the Lord. Hallelujah. One of the questions I was confronted with a while ago was, did we believe in predestination? Was a person predestined for heaven or hell? I said, no, but we believe in a predestined church. And God's going to have a church. He's going to have a church that's full of the Holy Ghost, been baptized in Jesus' name, that's living a life of victory, hallelujah, holiness. God's going to have that church. I believe He's got one. Hallelujah. Amen. Call your attention for a few moments of time to Psalms, the 66th chapter. Psalms, the 66th chapter. The Bible said, make a joyful noise unto the God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art Thou in Thy works. Through the greatness of Thy power shall Thine enemies submit themselves unto Thee. All the earth shall worship Thee, and shall sing unto Thee. They shall sing to Thy name, Selah. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in His doing toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in Him. He ruleth by His power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves, Selah. Oh, bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of His praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved, which holdeth our soul in life. I like that. And suffereth not our feet to be moved,
For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Praise God. Amen. I like this. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our lines. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through waters, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. I will go unto thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered, and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings with the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats, Selah. 16th verse. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. David said, I'm going to declare what he's done. I'm not going to wait for somebody else to get up and give the testimony. I'm going to declare what God has done for me. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. That 16th verse again so readily stands to attention into my eyes. And it said, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. My question to you today in form of a subject would be this. Will you declare yourself? Will you declare yourself? In 1776, on July the 4th, there was a declaration made. It was a declaration of independence, the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It called for people, human involvement. People would dare to declare themselves for a good cause. I am here to tell you are here today because of this Declaration of Independence. You are here simply because that our forefathers put it in ink and had it sealed with the approval pen, that we could have a right to worship the Lord God of heaven the way we want to worship him. It has been declared by the United States of America that we have a right, as in our independence, that we have a right to stand up, praise God, and speak the voice of the eternal God and declare that there is one God. His name is Jesus. And we are to be baptized and filled with that one God if we are going to be saved. Hallelujah. They declared unto us that we had the freedom of speech. They declared unto us that we had the freedom of liberty. No matter what nationality you are, according to this Declaration of Independence, you have a right to as much as anybody else has a right to when it comes to the government of our society. Yes, that independence, that Declaration of Independence, that declares itself, all we've got to do, it will allow us to plead the fifth. We don't have to speak if we don't want to speak, but we can speak if we want to speak. Hallelujah. And I thank God for that voice. I thank God for that declaration that gives us the pursuit of happiness. Praise God. And I'm also glad that that declaration involved people, human involvement, people that would declare themselves for a good cause. Let me tell you about another declaration that was made some 2,000 years ago. Over 2,000 years ago, there was another declaration made that all men, whoever they may be, could be made free from their sins if they would declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. This is an hour when you and I must declare ourselves. We've got to declare ourselves what we believe, who we believe in, what we stand for, where we're going, when we're going there, and how to get there. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. I can stand here and tell you today that over 2,000 years ago, that a man called Jesus, praise God, he went to an old rugged cross of Calvary, and he bled and died for the sins of the world. He said, when you come unto me, when you repent of your sins, when you're baptized in my name, when I infill you with my spirit or myself, when I come and take abode into your life, I become the king upon the throne of your heart. It is at that moment that I, Jesus Christ, saying, I declare that now you are the sons of God. We who sometime were afar off are now made nigh by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Jesus declared, because I repented, because I was baptized in his name, because we were filled with the Holy Ghost, he declared us then as sons and daughters in the family of God. There's a lot of things that Jesus did declare. When he took stripes upon his back, he declared our healing right then. He was telling Satan, hey, Satan, you that's got all of those afflictions and all of those diseases all bound up that you're going to put on people, I'm here to tell you, Satan, I've declared them to be made well, for I have taken stripes upon my back, carried them to the eternal glory world, and there forever, they are ever present. I declare unto thee thy healing because of the stripes that was placed upon my back. He declared liberty. He said, whom the Son hath made free is free indeed. Hallelujah. Now I want you to know that some of you have been set free, but you're not free. Oh, hallelujah to God. God wants to use us. He wants to use you. If a person that's in this building today is important to the kingdom of God, it's up to you to declare yourself. Declare yourself. Isaiah 45 and 19 tells us, when the Lord declares something, he declares it right. I want you to know the plan of salvation that God declared unto us, it is right. And that plan brought liberty. That plan brought freedom. Hallelujah. I'm not the same anymore. I am a new creation. You are a new creation when Jesus Christ comes into your heart and life. I told them a while ago up at the church where I just came from. I told them, if you have accepted Jesus Christ into your life and you have not changed, I don't believe you're saved. Hallelujah. Because I believe that when a person comes to the knowledge of the truth and are born again of the water and the Spirit, there's going to be a change in their life. Oh, hallelujah. I don't understand anybody that can claim the Holy Ghost and never get involved. That blows my mind. I can understand a whole lot more things in the world than I can understand somebody getting the Holy Ghost and never getting involved in the kingdom of God. Look, if I wasn't going to be in the church, I'd be out there in the world having myself a good time, getting it while I can, because I know hell is going to be hot. But God has declared unto me something. He has declared unto me a plan of salvation. And he's declared it unto the whole world. He said, for whosoever will, let him come and drink of the waters of life freely. You talk about a big-hearted God. We're serving one today. He's a God that understands. He knows every one of us. He knows the thoughts and the intent of your very own heart right this very moment. He knows exactly who you are, where you're at, and what you're trying to hide behind. Oh, but God has declared unto us, look, I'm going to set you free from sin. I'm going to break the chains that's binding you. I'm going to loose you. You're not going to be bound any longer. For whom the Son hath made free is free indeed. And when the Lord declares something, he declares it right. He is never wrong. God is never wrong. God is never wrong. God is never wrong. God is never wrong. If you've got a bone to pick with God because of something that's happened to you, you don't try to pick it with God. You pick it up with Adam. Adam's the one that fell in the Garden of Eden and put you down to that low state.
It wasn't God. It was God that reached and grabbed a cloak and wrapped himself in flesh and died on the old rugged cross to pick you up out from the bonds of sin and declared a plan of salvation. Oh, hallelujah. I heard somebody make the statement, you cannot celebrate your 4th of July until you've declared your independence. We got a lot of people that wants God to work for them, but they really don't want God in them. You like to call on God when you get in trouble. You like to call on God when your back's against the wall. You just want God when you're in trouble. But God is looking for men, women, boys and girls in this very present hour, this very present day, that will stand forth and declare themselves and say, hey, God, I want to be one of your children. I want to be a vessel. I want to be clay in the potter's hand. Mold me, make me, use me, God. I declare myself unto thee. Here I am, Lord. I want to be used of you. Psalms 19 and 1 said that the heavens declare the glory of God. Some people try to look at the existence of God and it blows their mind. How do you know that he's there? It's by personal experience that we know he's there. Hallelujah. Amen. We got to talking about convictions a while ago. I said a person cannot have convictions unless they've got the Holy Ghost inside of them to give them godly convictions. Amen. Praise God. Some of you got stronger convictions than I've got. I've got some convictions that's stronger than what you've got. But there's a preacher on the inside of you that declared that all men could be set free. The greatest words that was ever spoken from the lips of anyone was when he bowed his head and said, it is finished. What was finished? Our declaration of independence, friend. Oh, hallelujah. It was at that moment that the world was blacked out in total darkness. And it was there that Jesus Christ was in hell and the devils running through the corridor screaming, we've killed him, we've killed him, we've destroyed him, we've got him right here on our own home front now. But he was fixing to declare something. He looked over and he said, hey, Satan, give me the keys now. And brother, he took the keys of death and hell and declared a place of eternal abode with him for you and I. Hallelujah. He said, you go tarry and wait for a comforter to come. I've been with you. I've been with you. I've worked for you. You've hid behind me. You've watched the fig tree when I cursed it die. You've watched the blinded eyes open, the deaf ears be unstopped. You've watched me. You've worked with me. But now I'm fixing to do something different. I'm fixing to be in you. Go tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Behold, I will send the Comforter in my name. That Comforter is the Holy Ghost, friend. That is absolutely bottling up Jesus Christ and putting him on the inside of your heart and your life. You become at that moment transmitters. Transmitters that will transmit the glorious gospel message of freedom, life, and liberty through our dependence that Jesus Christ declared for you and I. Acts 8 and 33, in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And the Bible said, and who shall declare his generation? Will you declare yourself? Who will declare his generation? Who's going to stand up and say, Jesus is still alive? Jesus is still our Savior. Who's going to declare him to the world? May I ask you today, will you declare yourself for the church? Will you declare yourself for the kingdom of God? Will you declare yourself? Well, you say, I don't think I could declare myself full-heartedly. Then you're fooling and wasting your own time, friend. Praise God. If you're a member of the First Pentecostal Church, it's a requirement for you to be involved. I didn't set that requirement, but Jesus Christ did. We believe in total involvement in the kingdom of God. Total involvement. I preached the other night, and I don't know if I ought to say this here or not, but it keeps coming to me. I'm going to say it. I was raised in the country where there was a lot of iron in the water. And a lot of people said that iron would settle. And that was the reason that all you'd done was seen people just sitting around. But we're living in an age, it's time to get the lead out. If you're going to be a Christian, jump up and say, "Hey, I'm a Christian." If you're going to be a child of God, get up and say, "I'm a child of God." It's time to declare yourself. Anybody can stay in the middle of the road. Fence walker. Straddling the fence. God's not pleased with that. You know what He's pleased with? He's pleased with somebody that will just lay themselves on the altar and say, "God, I declare myself for the cause of Christ, whether it means persecution, whether it means fighting the devil every day of my life, no matter what it means, God, I declare myself to victory." Hallelujah. I declare myself to praise. I declare myself to worship. I declare myself to the church. I declare myself to Jesus Christ. I declare myself. Pledge myself. Moses has been out in the wilderness 40 years with a bunch of people, and their main problem was murmuring, complaining. I don't know how many people was out there. There was a bunch of them. And they grumbled, and they complained, and they bellyached. You can always find somebody to gripe with you. You can always find somebody to sin with you. Yeah, you can. That's not hard. But God is scanning this place today, and He's looking for people that's going to stand for Him. Finally, Moses looked out a bunch among that bunch, and Moses asked for the people to declare themselves. He stood in the gate of the camp, and he said, "Who is on the Lord's side?" Moses said, "It's about time we find out who's on the Lord's side." "Well, I'm on the Lord's side." If you got hate in your heart for a brother or sister, you ain't on God's side. If you've got jealousy and malice and envy and all that kind of junk all cramped up in your life, it ain't nothing but a bunch of trash. It's going to send you to hell. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know what I've been praying for? I've been praying for the apostolic ministry like it's never been before. You say, "Preacher, you're asking for persecution." You're right, friend. You try to step in another dimension. The devil don't like it. You know the reason the opposition that we're faced with today at the First Pentecostal Church is because we blew the mind of Satan in 1982. You know why we did it? It's because of you. You declared yourself to revival. The reason that our eyes beheld over 400 people receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost in 1982 was due to the fact that the people that are sitting before me today got out into business and said, "Hey, God, we're going to have revival in Minden. Whatever it takes, we'll ring the telephone and invite them. We'll put it in the newspaper and invite them. God, we'll go to house and invite them." But all we do is declare ourselves to real apostolic revival. The reason in 1982 that we took the story, got to tell somebody that production and put it on in the Minden Civic Center where there was a packed out place up there. They said the biggest crowd that ever been in the Minden Civic Center. We did it, First Pentecostal Church, in 1982. We did it. Why? Because you declared yourself and said, "I'll help. I'll help. I'll work. I'll do what I can do." Praise God. I want you to know the reason that we are battling the forces of hell, the reason that our pastor is battling what he's battling, the forces of darkness, is because he stepped into another dimension where there's going to be That dimension will work Satan over every time he steps in the pulpit. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you something, saints. If you're ready to commit yourself, we're ready to go on with revival. If you're willing to commit yourself to God, we're ready to go on and have apostolic authority and apostolic blessing and apostolic revival. If you're ready to declare yourself. 2 Corinthians 8 and 19. Scripture bears out something there that's very needful. You don't see a lot of it being done today, but we need it now. We need it now. 2 Corinthians 8, verse number 19. And not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord. Now listen to this. And declaration of your ready mind. Declaration of your ready mind. Some of you have got to get mind ready. You got to change your outlook. You have. I had the CB radio on going down to Calhoun the other night in my car. I had it on. And there was a truck that pulled off on the shoulder of the road. And he got too far over and he marred down. I mean, he was stuck. And all that everybody was doing on the radio was talking about the truck in the ditch. And they wasn't talking about no truck that was out there on the highway still rolling. The truck in the ditch. That's all they talked about. But they wouldn't talk about those that were still rolling. Oh, let me tell you something. It's so easy to talk about the negative points. Anybody can do it. You can sit around and say, bless God, this church is going down. You must not be a member of the same one I'm a member of. I don't claim nobody says this church is going down. You're not my brother or sister. This church is going up. God don't like no defeatism attitude. He likes thoughts of victory. Oh, we're coming to the separation of the men from the boys. Yeah, we are. Persecution is going to be heaped up. And those of you who don't feel like you need a preacher now, mark my word, the day's coming, you're going to need us. And there's a day coming, we're going to need y'all. You can believe it. Because the Lord spoke to me in the service last night and told me beyond the shadow of a doubt. He said, why be thou troubled in the cloud that you are in? I know that thou seest blackness. But behold, have I not told thee that I was the light? Go ahead and weep through the night. But joy is coming in the morning. God is looking for people of victory that will declare themselves whether they die or live. They just declare, God, here I am. My God, I'm going to stand strong. I'm not going to allow the defeatism attitude to get a hold of me. I don't know nothing but victory. Victory. Everybody say victory. That word sounds good to a lot of you because all you've had for a long time is defeat. Oh, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. God's going to pour out His Spirit upon all men. And there's going to be a revival in this place. There's going to be a revival in this church. Oh, hallelujah. Some of you are going to flex your muscles, and your spiritual muscles is going to grow. Your spiritual appetite is going to grow, and you're going to start thirsting and hungering for the things that God has for you. Hallelujah. Oh, hear me when I tell you, church, there's just the dimensions that you can step into. Oh, hallelujah. There's a higher step. There's another rung on the ladder. Praise God. If you'll get the lead out and start climbing that ladder for Jesus Christ, I'm here to tell you, He'll bless you. Praise God. Did not Paul say that same Lord and declaration of your ready mind? What happened on the day of Pentecost when they all got in one accord? What happened when they got in one accord? Come on, First Pentecostal Church of Mendon. Our mind has got to be on Him. We've got to declare a declaration of our ready mind. A mind that's ready to work. A mind that's ready to move. A mind that is submitted to the mind of Christ. The helmet of salvation has now been placed upon our brow. The declaration of our independence has already been given on the cross of Calvary. Praise God. And I want you to know that it's time that we celebrate our Pentecost. Hallelujah. I said it's time to celebrate our Pentecost. Will you declare yourself? David said, well, he said, I'm going to declare something unto you. He said, I'm going to declare what the Lord has done for me. Hallelujah. I'm going to declare what the Lord has done. I'm not going to talk about what people's done to me. We got to get out of this people-conscious business. There's such a thing. Sometimes you fight devils, and sometimes you just fight people. But we need a readiness of the mind, and let's get God-conscious. You can sit there on the pew, and it be cold as an iceberg because you're people-conscious. I've prayed it all my life. I've prayed ever since that I was old enough to pray. I've always said, hey, God, when my fires are burning, let me stay one step ahead of a wet blanket. When my fires are burning, let me be one step ahead of that iceberg. When they got in one mind, the fire fell. The fire fell. Cloven tongues as of fire set up on each of them that heard the word. Woo! Hallelujah. Praise God. I believe it's ice melting time around here. I looked out across my yard today and seen the green grass coming through. Hallelujah. Some of you around here, you're still in your winter clubhouse. You're still all caved up. It's time to get out of the woodwork. And it's time to get on the battlefield and declare yourself whether you're going to live for God or you're going to live for the devil. Hallelujah. There ain't no hiding place down here. God knows where you're at every minute. And all he's looking is for somebody to say, I declare myself unto you, God. I pledge myself. I pledge myself. Hallelujah to God. Praise God. Ooh, hallelujah. What are you doing? What are you doing? We're going to have a battle. That boxer before it gets ready to fight. He gets in there and he gets a hold that little old skin that's up above his head up there, a little pear looking thing. He gets to whipping on that thing. And as he's whipping on it, said, that's my opponent. That's the man that's coming against me. There's the other one. Getting him. There's my opponent. Getting him. My opponent. What you need to do is get your mind made up every time that the devil comes against you. Let the devil see you in your dressing out room. Oh, hallelujah. I said, let the devil peek in your dressing out room. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. I'm fixed to come to church tonight, but before I get here, I'm going to go to my dressing room. Hallelujah. Praise God. What are you going to go there for? Hey, preacher. Hey, people. We're in a battle. Hallelujah. But I want my opponent to know one thing. That I've got the name of Jesus. I got the power of the blood. I've got the Spirit of the Lord, God Jehovah, and I declare myself unto Him today. Woo! Come on, Satan, hallelujah. You say, preacher, you ain't no match for him. No, but I got somebody in me that is. Hallelujah. He can tear his head off. He can warp his mind. He can beat him to the next trick. Hallelujah. Woo! Victory! Victory! Whom the Son hath made free is free indeed. Let's clap our hands unto Him. Hallelujah! 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 Let us stand and exalt the name of Jesus together. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Victory in Jesus. Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Give me the key of Elf again. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, He is exalted. He is exalted. He is exalted on high. Creation shall praise Him, and the saints shall adore Him. He is exalted on high. You see, the moment that you set God upon the throne of your heart, it is at that moment that victory comes to you. If you will pray and fast and be in constant communication with Him, the battle is not yours then, it's the Lord's.